Welcome to the Nebraska Soybean Board Weekly Market Roundup, being brought to you by Nebraska Soybean Farmers and their Checkoff. I'm Susan Littlefield, and you might be able to hear the background noise behind me because we are at the 96th Nebraska State FFA Convention. And as we are doing this report, 832 Nebraskans are getting their state FFA degree. So you might be hearing a lot of cheering. I wish it was the cheering for the market trade that's going on in the background, but a lot of excited folks here. And of course, a lot of folks talking about what's been happening in this market trade this week as well. It's been great to have some conversations with these young ones as they look at the markets and they really digest what's happening. Well, we're going to talk about the spreads that are going on. We're going to talk about geopolitical. We've got weather. We've got a lot of things that are factored in. So stick around. To me, a great episode for this week's report.
Meet the champions of innovation in the heart of Nebraska. They're not just farmers, and they nurture more than just crops, pushing boundaries and turning challenges into opportunities. They trade knowledge and know-how, and their dedication doesn't end at harvest. It's in your every bite and every drive. The future of food, fuel, and fiber. And the future of Nebraska starts right here.
Welcome back once again as we continue here from Lincoln. Joining us is Darren Fessler and, of course, Kyle Bumstead. As we look at the markets and a lot of things, I wanted to start out kind of getting your guys' takeaways. What was the biggest thing that caught your attention this week on the market trading? And Kyle, we'll kind of start with you. What was the one thing that kind of caught your attention that maybe we'll be expounding on more as the show goes on?
I think the big one for me was the cattle and the feeder cattle move here with this avian flu, the headlines that come out there. I mean, you saw some technical selling. You saw damage done to the charts here. Cash, a lot of folks are thinking cash is going to be higher this week. Cash is actually trading 184 in Kansas, Texas, a little bit weaker, almost $2 weaker. And cash in Nebraska, 186, 187, that's weaker again. That's kind of the big one there. A lot of commercial selling in the spreads. June losing to the August. August losing to October. And you know, you're seeing basically some liquidation here across the floor. Today, on Friday here, April live cattle options, they cease trading here at the close. So we'll see Monday if there's any threaded deliveries. I don't see any threaded deliveries at this time, but we'll see what happens.
All right. What about for you, Darren? What was your biggest takeaway from this week's trade?
The strength that we've seen in hogs and obviously the weakness that continues on in the cattle markets, spreads remain weak there as well. It's hard to say the market hasn't given us an opportunity here, but my concern for a lot of guys is if they're buying some of these deferred feeders and they expect to fatten them up here later on, say the April 25, it's just the board's going to really have to run to make that work from a break-even standpoint. So I really, when I look at that, it's a momentum. It's a liquidation type trade, as Kyle had mentioned. It's just a very, very tough right now in that complex. But the opposite's going on in the hogs is that, I mean, some of these June boards have just made some massive, massive moves here. Probably getting a little bit ahead of themselves technically, but a good move for those producers.
When was the last time we could say, boy, this wheat complex was really the mover that kind of pulled everybody along? And I kind of want to get both your takeaways. And what you saw with the wheat, what had such an impact on the grains this week?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the fund position of wheat here, being record short here in the KC markets, there is definitely some issues, I think, not only domestically here. If you look at some of the drought maps, Kansas is getting dry in certain areas. But then you have some tension in the Black Sea region. I think if you get just some systematic and algo-type traders to cover above, one, if the 50-day EMA on the July KC, I definitely think there's going to be some covering there. It's just, does this market that's been struggling for a catalyst, do they finally have a catalyst again, maybe in the Black Sea areas? Again, it seems like tensions are arising all over the place. Again, I think wheat is going to be the driver for a lot of this. I've been saying on social media for the last few days, at least this week anyway, I'm expecting like next few weeks, next few months to definitely expect increased volatility, not just ags, but if you look across the metals, the energies, obviously you look at the volatility that's been cranked up here a little bit in the cattle as well. So across the board of commodities.
Now, I know, Kyle, you look at this wheat complex, and you and I kind of talked in the past about USDA reports for the NAS numbers, but man, there's not much to argue about when you see 56% good to excellent on the first report. So at least some good news from that, from a wheat perspective.
It sounds good, but I don't know if that actually translates into a fine yield. Now, going here off this Kansas City wheat, those spreads are inverted. That July versus Sep is inverted here. Or no, excuse me. That is at a carry right now. And it looks like to me that being at a carry like this, still kind of bearish. And when you look at Chicago, it's still at a carry as well, too. So what I'm thinking the most bullish thing in this market is going to be is that FUD short covering. Now, that might give these producers an opportunity here to sell some wheat, forward sell some wheat. But bottom line is, when you're sitting here at full commercial carry like you are in Chicago wheat, there's still plenty of wheat in the world. And they don't have to come to the USA to buy it. That's the sad part of it. Yes, the drought map, I get it, but we're supposed to get some rain here across the Midwest here. So I think some of this late pressure here that took Kansas City wheat off the top end of the range here today, I think that was some, maybe just a little profit taking, maybe a little bit positioning here for the weather coming through this weekend.
All right, so you brought that up about, they don't have to come to the U.S. to buy it. What's your take on all the geopoliticals that we've been dealing with?
I'd say it's probably nothing we haven't dealt with already before. We've been hearing about Russia and Ukraine for, what, going on 3 years. It's an election year. One side gets elected. We've got this green energy bill that they're trying to get passed, which might not be good for agriculture. You get the other side in there. We know what we've been through with there as far as tariffs and in the past and, trade wars and retaliation and whatnot. So it could be some tough times here as far as ag goes. I mean, you get these funds in here, they've made their money to the short side, they're going to cover, they get a bounce, they're probably going to sell it again, unless we have a huge fundamental problem. But in the case of corn, it's going to take a major problem here, major problem here in the state side issue here in order to drive those production numbers down.
All right, Darren, what about for you? What do you see in this geopolitical world?
I think Kyle made a lot of really good points here. I mean, I think that this market, at least on the corn side, it's good enough for a pop, but that pop is more likely a selling opportunity. When we look at the stocks use ratio, what type of weather events? I mean, I'm pretty comfortable how from now until July 1st goes. I don't know what La Nina brings. I don't know how strong it brings. May not bring anything. But it rains in Iowa, Illinois sporadically at the right time. Maybe that's all you need. That's all you needed last year, and you still had supposedly what we had. So I'm leaving it at that. That a rally is from 475 to 5. If you get to 525, I don't know how anyone doesn't reward that on the corn side. I think if you look at the acreage number that was released last week, probably the lowest we see on corn, probably the highest we see on beans. I think there's an inverse. I think there's a not inverse with the spreads, but inverse meaning I think that you have a little bit more positivity on beans, maybe a little less optimism on corn. But again, both of those markets still have plenty of supply. Brazil's going to have a good crop. They're basically finishing up now. How Safrina finished, we don't know. It's probably looking good. So again, how bad does the weather have to get to bring the stocks use ratio lower? Wheat is kind of the same way. It doesn't necessarily have to go to the HR. It doesn't have to go to the SR. You got plenty of Paris wheat. You got plenty of Ukrainian wheat or Russian wheat that still go around. So again, I think the market and the commodities as a whole, we're still looking for the catalyst from the grain side. And that's why we haven't been participating like the energies, like the metal so far on this commodity rally. Start at least 24.
Do you expect either one of you surprises in next week's report? No?
The only surprise I could see, and I wouldn't even call it a surprise, it's not that we don't have corn demand. I could see them maybe raising a little bit on ethanol, maybe feeding residual just a little bit just because of the stocks use. But I don't think it's going to move the needle. And even if we punch in 90 million, what the planning intention number was, you're still left with a 2-3, a 2-2 if you're being more friendly on the demand side.
Kyle, you brought up before we started today's program talking about these spreads. Let's look at the spreads in the corn and the beans and then the bearishness that you continue to see from the wheat.
Well, that's right, Susan. When you've got the spreads here, I mean, you're looking at Dees to March, new crop Dees 24 to March 25, sitting about 13 cents carry right now. That's not really bullish. You've got right now, you've got the May to July right now. Of course, May is where the funds are short at right now. And they should be covering those shorts as we're into the golden roll starting today. That spread actually lost a quarter cent to 12.5 cents carry. So you're sitting right around that 65 to 67% carry, which tells me it's a hedger's market where you've got your May corn hedged out there. You sell it, you've got it sold, you roll out your futures or you roll it out and you're short from a higher level going out to July. So that's what I'd be looking for moving forward here. And in the case of new crop corn, like Darren said, you get to that 5 to 5.25 area. Don't be afraid to take a look at some of those March options out there, because all of the popularity is going to be in the December. All the volatility is going to be out in December. And some of the best hedging you can do is skipping the December and going clear out to the March, because volatility, I've seen at times when you've seen these big moves like in the December and everybody's all hyped up on December, they forget about what they're going to have in the bin. They forget about what's going to be trucked off the farm into town. And they say, well, I don't know what I'm going to raise. And I really don't like that statement, because you know what you're going to raise. Now, there are a few areas out in the far western Corn Belt and on the fringe areas you don't know what you're going to raise. I get it. But for the most part, when you talk to guys here in the central Corn Belt and they say, I don't know if I'm going to raise a crop yet, I don't know as I can believe that. So I go out to the March and I look at that and say, okay, what's the carry out there? Option volatility many times, not all the time, is cheaper. It gives you more time value out there looking at some of those deferred options as opposed to out in there, or as opposed to December. So maybe making that decision to sell cash off the December and then using some of those option tools out there to lock up the carry in the March is what I'd be looking at moving forward.
I want to, before we wrap up today's program, I want to get both of your takes on HPAI, because this isn't something that's just going to go away in this next week. There's still a lot of questions, a lot of what ifs. So Kyle, we'll start with you.
That's right. You said it right there, the what ifs. And markets don't like unknowns. This is an unknown. And I hate to say it, but it's kind of like the pandemic we had a few years ago. The more you test for it, the more you're going to find it. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's in some beef cows. I mean, you've got geese flying all over right here through the central United States right now. We just haven't tested for it. Or, you know, if we start testing for it, it's not going to surprise me if it's there. Does it affect the meat? Haven't seen anywhere where there's any research that it affects the meat or going into the consumer or anything like that, or milk or anything as far as these dairy cows are concerned. But as we've talked, these algos, once they get fed that headline, doesn't matter what it is. If it incites panic and then panic goes to the news media takes it to the public, and then there you sit. You have a big move that you can't control. So as Darren said, we've had some great opportunities here to at least get a floor established underneath some of these cattle. You know, these cattle coming out here at 178 on the board today, they needed about a 196 break even for some of these cattle that are placed that are coming out of the feed yard today. Did they get it? No, they did not. Now, they had a very good opportunity to sell 197, 198, 199, which was a little bit of profit. But I know a lot of people passed it up thinking, boy, we're going to be at $2 plus cash fats here in April. And, well, we're at 186 today.
Okay, Darren, you were kind of shaking your head in agreement as Kyle was rattling that off.
I mean, I don't know how I topped that. I mean, it is. I mean, I think what he said about the algos and the headlines driving the trade, that, I mean, whether we like the algos ahead high freak, it doesn't matter. They grab those headlines, and if you have momentum shift, like you have the 5-9 day cross above the 20 or below the 20 in this case, it is a momentum trade, and they will gravitate that, and it's basically here. We've shifted. We're selling. Now, prove to me that you're going to find some support. We're going to gravitate right back down to the next high-volume levels, and that's exactly what June Fats have done here. Gravitated. There's about an $8 spread between the next high-volume level at top here and then where we found today. So coming in, it was April option expiration. Next week is massive for cattle complex. But, again, Kyle nailed it. Algos got a hold of it. Thinner markets, like a cattle market, not like a corn or bean, they can drive and drive it hard.
All right, we're gonna leave it at that, gentlemen. Thank you so much for both joining us today. Just a quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's this week's Nebraska Soybean Board Weekly Market Roundup.